Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Breaking news for the Vols, and it ain't good. According to 24/7 Sports, Henry Toa has been placed into the transfer portal. He is gone. The one good player, Jeremy Pruitt, really recruited. I mean, the one really good player, Henry Toa, enters the transfer portal. Guys, it's going to be bad. This was a 3-7 team. So assume that next year they play a real season. And I think everybody will, for the most part, play a real season. I don't think COVID will be solved by the fall, but I do think that by the fall, enough people will get vaccinated. The hospitals will know how to treat it better. And ultimately, the idea of, hey, if you don't want to get vaccinated, then that's your uneducated choice. And you have to deal with the consequences. The rest of us are getting shots. And I would say this right now. I don't think I'll be able to get a shot until March, April, May. But as soon as I can get that baby in my right arm, left arm, put that baby right in there. But again, it's going to be bad this year for the Vols. And as I said, Tennessee is ultimately going to have to do something that they consider as a program is beneath them. The fans are going to say, gosh, this is beneath us. It is beneath us to essentially punt the upcoming year. You have no quarterback. You have no defense. You have no offensive line anymore. You have a running back who may not be able to play because of impermissible benefits. Right now you have no coach, and you have no coaching staff. You have Kevin Steele. That's what you have. And he's the acting coach, but it seems like everybody believes the Vols are going to hire an AD right away and hire a head coach right away. And I lead you to, I have to ask the question, why? What's the rush? What's the rush on Tennessee hiring a coach? Why do they have to hire a coach right now? But Jared recruiting, if they don't get it back, if they don't. And Jamie Chadwell taking over the job next week is infinitely going to fix recruiting so that they'll be able to compete in 2022? That does not make a lot of sense. I go with the Ohio State method, which is forget about 2021, whoever's still here plays. And there's going to be some players that would say, you know what, I'm a walk-on wide receiver, but I got a shot to play in the SEC. You're not going to win, but hey, that player might become an integral part of whatever you're trying to build. When I was at Louisville in the women's basketball team, we went to the national championship my first year. We were 14-18 my second year. Now, we were in the Sweet 16 my junior year, and we were in the NCAA tournament as a sixth seed my senior year. We were good. We were terrible that second year. We found a walk-on point guard to come in. And really, I mean, she played a lot then. And even though once we got better players, she didn't play a whole lot the rest of the way, she was a key part of our program and still helped us out a lot the last 2 years after she played a lot. Tennessee's going to find some guys that they didn't necessarily know about. They're going to find that they can play, that whenever whomever comes in here, fixes things, is going to be able to say, you know what, I'm glad I have this guy. I'm glad I have that guy. Jordan Rogers told me when he was at Vanderbilt, Bobby Johnson left in the middle of the summer. Robbie Caldwell took over for 1 year. They were horrible. James Franklin the next year comes in, 6-win season to a bowl game. Yes, James is why that happened. But Jordan told me they grew as a team in the Robbie Caldwell year. John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, was on our show yesterday, and we asked him, hey, can you do the one-year thing with Kevin Steele? Can you get Kevin Steele for a season and let him interim coach this year and then reset everything for 2022? Here's what he said.
Well, I think it's possible Kevin Steele's the coach, yeah. But I can't imagine Tennessee hiring Kevin Steele for 1 year and say, well, he's our interim coach for one season. You can't do that. You'd have to make him the head coach. If Tennessee has no other – if it can't hire anybody that it – considers good enough to be successful at Tennessee, then Kevin Steele, I guess, is its fallback. I mean, he lost He lost about nine games a year when he was at Baylor many years ago. That's his only head coach experience. But he is a good defensive coordinator. He's been around the league. He's considered a good recruiter, has a good personality, can smooth with the boosters well. So, yeah, I mean, he would certainly be an option. But I just can't imagine Tennessee going beyond, you know, going into this next season without a permanent head coach, because you're recruiting way in advance now.
Yeah.
And these guys need to know who's going to be their coach. That, to me, just wouldn't work. I just think if they make Kevin Steele the coach, I mean, he's going to have to be the coach for – he's going to get a, I don't know, 4 or 5 year contract, and you go from there.
Let me say this. I understand the idea that you want a coach right now who can come in and recruit today, but do you have to have it? Some things you have to have. Sometimes you are put in a position where you have got to do it. Warren Buffett always references Ted Williams when it comes to his decisions on investing. And he says, you know, Ted Williams took every little area of the strike zone and put a little baseball in each one. And in the science of hitting, Ted broke down what his batting average was on each pitch in the zone. So one that would be, say, in the middle of the plate, Ted was a 500 hitter on. The ones that would be on the outside corner, he wasn't so good. But Ted wouldn't swing at pitches he knew were strikes early in the count because he wanted to wait for the perfect pitch for him to hit. And Warren Buffett says in investing, it's the same way, except that you don't necessarily have to spend your money on anything. Ted Williams, if there's two strikes, he has to swing at a ball in the strike zone. You don't have to do that in investing. Tennessee does not have to have a coach, a full-time coach, on the program for 2021. Ohio State didn't have a full-time coach in 2011. Vanderbilt didn't have a full-time coach in 2010. Now, maybe you lie and you pretend like, hey, he's our guy, and then after the 1 year, you fire him. This wouldn't be the first time that this has happened. This wouldn't be the first time where all of a sudden somebody's running my program, but it's only for 1 year. And I'm looking at Ohio State's recruiting class from 2011. Now, 2011 was weird because I think Tressel began the year as the coach and then Fickell ran it. So technically, by the time you get to the next recruiting cycle, you will have another head coach in here. But here's who they got in that last recruiting class, or that 2011 year with Luke Fickell as Ohio State's head coach. Braxton Miller, Michael Thomas, Ryan Shazier, Cardale Jones, and then a bunch of guys. They also kept people on that coaching staff. You ever heard of Mike Vrabel? He was on both coaching staffs. He was on Luke Fickell's in 2011, and he stayed when Urban Meyer got there in 2012. Joe Rextro wrote a great piece about it. If the right AD is not out there and the right coach is not out there, why can't you punt this year? You do know if Nick Saban were to become the head coach at Alabama this year, they wouldn't win any games. So I get the idea that recruiting is so far out that you have to bring in a new coach right away, and if the new coach wasn't here, then it would set you back another year, and you don't have time to waste, and you don't want to put, but could it get worse than it is now? The only way it gets worse is if you make a short-sighted decision and hire somebody because, well, he's the only guy we could have hired. Next year, a lot of coaches are going to get dumped in college football. There will be some NFL coaches who will get dumped who might be a fit in college football. If Matt Rhule has a horrible year with the Panthers, he might get dumped. Matt Rhule would be a pretty good option at the University of Tennessee. And I know Vol fans want to hire an AD next week, and they want to hire a coach in 2 weeks, and they want to keep Henry Toa Toa, and they want to build around Harrison Bailey, and they want to get this program off the ground, and they want to get them going. But again, you have two options. You can go hustle right now to get a coach because we got to have a coach. Or you can wait let Kevin Steele do his job, be terrible this year, and then go get the coach you ultimately want. Think about Tennessee basketball in between Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes. Bruce Pearl was the coach, and then all of a sudden Bruce Pearl wasn't the coach. And what happened to Tennessee basketball after that? Konzo Martin for a couple of years. And Konzo had that one year where he won with Bruce's players. But then after that, Donnie Tindall and, like, UT basketball was just there. It was just a program. They just had regular coaches, and they just were what they were. And again, they got to a Sweet 16 under Konzo Martin, but let's be real. The first 2 years under Konzo Martin were terrible. Then Donnie Tindall gets 1 year, and it's a mess when Donnie Tindall leaves. Donnie Tindall gets, it's NCAA city for Donnie Tindall. Konzo Martin didn't want to be there. It was a mess. But Rick Barnes just happened to get fired by Texas after a nice long run where he won about 70% of his games. He gets fired in 2015 because, well, they got knocked out in the first round. They bring in Rick Barnes. They're awful for 2 years, and all of a sudden, Tennessee basketball is good again. They make it to the second round of the tournament, and they lost to Sister Jean. They made it to the Sweet 16, and they were ranked number one in the country. Then guess what, guys? And this is going to happen in football if you get a coach you like too. They had to take a step back last year, and now they look to be good again, not including the butt-kicking they took last night. Rick Barnes was the right guy for the job. But if they rushed to hire a coach, they may not have gotten Rick Barnes. Would you have felt better with Donnie Tindall as the coach long-term over Rick Barnes? That's all I'm saying about the Vols and Kevin Steele this year. Kevin Steele is a good enough coach. I mean, there were people at Auburn that thought that he should be the head coach full-time. In fact, had certain power boosters not stepped in, that's probably what would have happened. He's good enough for this year. Let him build a staff. Maybe make up something. Maybe play pretend that he's the coach. Do something. But make sure you get the right guy. Don't just try to go out there and hire some guy. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get your calls. We'll get your texts. 615-737-1025. And again, just I would be honest about what you're looking for if you're addressing the coaching search. Coming up next, do we know where the Vols are as a program right now? And what does that mean for its long-term outlook? And I'm not even sure I know the answer to that. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company's live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My official sports betting app is the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, and it's only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. A Same Game Parlay Bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championship. You can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect the parlay. That's right. You can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot, and it's just one of the many ways you can bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is easy to use, and when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't already downloaded the FanDuel Sportsbook app, then get it going with the promo code JGM at the sign up. That's promo code JGM. If you're a current customer, you're all set. Go check out the Same Game Parlays only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issue as non-withdrawable site credit expires in 7 days. Max refund is $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Or problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
We're looking for someone who is a strong leader and who has principles and values, who also has experience in hiring coaches, and who can help us look towards the future. We've got a great future here. And as disappointed as we are, we're determined to get this right and to get a good person in place, both as AD and as head coach. So I think leadership and integrity are huge. and then experience in this role before will be important as well.
Donde Plowman, there you go. She is the chancellor at the University of Tennessee. I think our future is bright, she said. Well, Henry Toa Toa, in the last 20 minutes, entered the transfer portal, and now The Athletic reports that Tennessee linebacker Quavarius Crouch has entered the transfer portal. Guys, they're going to be starting from zero. The one element, and I've talked about 2011 Ohio State and Luke Fickell and everything that they did. I've talked about that at length, and that's what I think that is the route I believe Tennessee should go. Are they going to have enough players to field a team next year? Like, I really, and I don't know the answer to that. Like, are they going to have enough actual players to field a football team? One thing that was unfortunate, nobody talked about with Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, and I'm not taking up for Derek Mason. I don't think he was a great coach. I think he was fine. But one thing that I don't think he got enough credit for was his entire offensive line opted out and his entire defense entered the transfer portal because of COVID. You can't be a university like Vanderbilt and not expect to lose a ton when players are allowed to opt out and keep their scholarship and then hold the coach responsible when he doesn't win. Right now, Kevin Steele is looking at a 2 or 3 win season next year, and that's when you get to play the four gimmies. It's going to be bad. I do wonder this, and I don't know for a fact. I know all the big words they say in press conferences. Beverly Davenport said all the big words before. Philip Fulmer said all the big words before. John Curry said some big words. Donde Plowman has said some big words now. Randy Boyd, the president. They've all said the same crap over and over again. Doesn't mean that they know what the state of the program really is. And when I hear her say the future is bright at Tennessee, I wonder what kind of future are we talking about? Are we talking about 2021? Are we talking about 2024? Are we talking about 2023? Like, when are we talking about the future? Because anybody who wants to take this job is going to ask you that question. And I think you have to be a little realistic. If they win 2 or 3 games, if they have a Vanderbilt level season next year, and make no mistake about it, they're going to be putting a Vanderbilt level team on the field. If they have a Vandy-like season next year, are you going to expect big changes in year two? And if year two goes well but year three doesn't, then are you going to fire that coach? That's what you did with this coach. Who knows what they're thinking? Who knows what route they want to go? And that's part of the problem too, is nobody really truly understands it. The idea you're going to go hire Dan Mullen and turn yourself back into a legit contender like he did with Florida, or the idea that you're going to hire Kirby and he's going to do at Georgia, or he's going to do at Tennessee what he did at Georgia, the idea you're going to hire that guy is gone. You got to either hit the lottery like Florida did when they hired Urban Meyer from Utah, or you've got to be really patient with your program. And I think Vol fans today can say they're willing to be patient, but I'm not sure they're going to be willing to be patient long-term. 615-737-1025. Your phones are brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter to the text line says, Jared, I just wanted to say you were spot on this summer when talking about Tennessee football. I remember you and the GM talking about their recruiting class when it was top five, and you were not buying the hype. I agreed with you, and many others didn't. That's because everybody wants to think that their program is the best program, that they want to think that, no, our coach is the best coach. Our quarterback is the best quarterback. One example I'm struggling with personally is Ryan Tannehill. I believe that Ryan Tannehill is good enough to win a Super Bowl, that if you give him a decent enough defense, he's got the run game with Derrick Henry, that he's smart enough, that he's good enough and accurate enough to win you big games. He didn't do that against the Ravens. And I am really, really struggling with Tannehill after that Ravens game. I still like Tannehill. I still think he's the starting quarterback of the Titans. I guess I would pick up the third year, which they're going to have to do, I think, on like the fourth day of the league year. I still believe in Tannehill. But I don't believe in Tannehill as much as I believed in him before the Ravens game. The reason I bring this up is because a lot of times fans don't want to be able to say that. Fans can't be realistic. Fans can't look at somebody else's position and say, they're better than my team. This is the problem the Texas Longhorns have had. And it has taken them forever to understand that right now, Oklahoma is a better program than them. They've got a revolving door at coach. They can't figure it out. They want to be a defensive team. Then they want to be an offensive team. Then they mess around with all these quarterbacks. And every time they get a quarterback, they think that guy's the truth. And they get rid of him. And the Texas Longhorns right now are just whatever. Now, eventually, they'll get it going and they'll be fine. But right now, they are not Oklahoma. And they know that. But it took them a while to realize it. I think Vol fans wanted to believe in Jeremy Pruitt so much that the alternative that maybe this guy's just kind of a bumbling, well, he just is what he is. Nobody could ever consider that. That's why I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was absurd when they signed him to a contract extension before the season. And everybody got mad at me. Floyd got mad at me. The text line got mad at me. Twitter got mad at me. Jeremy Pruitt turned down a raise during the pandemic, and now they give him an extension because they believe in him, and he's their guy, and he's it. I didn't say they should fire Jeremy Pruitt before the season. I just said don't give the man an extension. Prove it to me. Well, but the recruiting rankings are... Prove it to me. Prove it to me. When you got a better class in Alabama, then we can talk. You got a better class in Alabama in March. That's not doing much for me. Prove it to me. We can talk. And hey, sometimes you prove it to me. You prove me wrong. I got to pay you the money. Rick Barnes got paid the money. Why? Because UCLA offered him a bunch of coin. And Tennessee had to re-up. But the funny part was even if Pruitt won a bunch after signing this extension, he still would have entertained offers somewhere else, and you then would have had to extend him and pay him more again. But you have to be willing to understand or accept the other side. And if you can't do that, then you can't build your program. Texter says, Fulmer gets $37,500 a month through December 2023. Ridiculous. Yes, it is ridiculous. But again, everybody wanted to bring in Fulmer. He's a Vol. He's one of us. He understands. He knows. He bleeds orange. He's going to fix it. He's Philip Fulmer, and I like Philip Fulmer. Philip Fulmer's number one concern when it comes to everything, his coaching tenure, where he wanted to coach, where he wanted to AD, John Curry, his number one thing was always Philip Fulmer. And at the end of the day, even though he didn't win like he would have liked to, Fulmer did sucker everybody into believing that he was the truth. Fulmer was a terrible athletic director. Terrible. Look at their women's basketball program. Terrible. But nobody wants to say it because remember at the press conference, he's a legend. But nobody's ever willing to accept the other side of it. I hate that. Nobody's ever willing to think, okay, how do we protect ourselves in case things don't work out? That's why I believe in prenups. Everybody thinks they hear the word prenup, and they're like, why would you sign a prenuptial agreement before you get married? You're just telling your significant other that you don't think it's going to work out. No, I'm saying that in case we're one of the 50%, which is half and half, which is pretty much the same as coaching searches, if we're one of the half that does get divorced, let's at least write it down how this is going to go down. That way we're not arguing and fighting, and every day it's drama filled of how dare she send that to me, and her lawyer said this, and the kids this and that. If you have a prenup, everybody knows what happens in the end, if it doesn't work out. Now you hope you never use it. You expect to not use it, but what's wrong with having it? You have to protect yourself. Tennessee never seems to protect themselves. They seem to just give out extensions. Here you go, Fulmer. What did he do? What did he do? I told the story already this week. I'm going to tell it again. Jeff Walls right now at the University of Louisville, the women's basketball program, that is a program that is supposed to matter to UT fans. has the number one team in the country. Philip Fulmer didn't even call him. I have it on pretty good authority that if Fulmer had pushed hard, he'd have had a shot at the guy who is now the number one coach in America. And he never even called him. That's a bad athletic director. But I never thought Philip Fulmer should have been athletic director anyways. You fired the guy a decade ago because the game had passed him. Then 10 years later, you sign it, you give him a promotion to a position he hasn't earned, and now he gets to walk away with $37,000 a month. Way to go. He played you. And people just, they just don't want to admit it. They don't want to see the other side. They don't want to think to themselves, hey, where could this go wrong? Here, here, and here. Well, but you know what? If that happens, nobody ever wants to do that. And I don't see why people don't. Whenever I make a major decision in my life, like buying a house or it's like Bitcoin, right? Like, should I buy Bitcoin? Should I not buy Bitcoin? Well, what's wrong with buying Bitcoin? If I buy it all and it goes to zero, I lose all my money. You can't say that about a house. You buy a house, the house is still there no matter what the value of the land goes to. It's never going to go to zero. So you have to factor all those things in. And I just don't feel like that. I just don't feel like they do. And that's how they get themselves in this position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Got a lot of text to get to. And we'll get to your phones. And more bad news for the Vols, which we'll hit on as well. I mean, look, the punches are going to come. You just got to take it right now. Just take the medicine and hope for light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I like light at the end of the tunnel? When I move. That's why I want to tell you about my most recent experience with moving. Everybody, including me, especially me, hates moving. But that was until I found my friends at TriStar Moving. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. They took care of absolutely everything in my home. They took care of the front door, the railings, the banisters, the thresholds, and they protected all of my furniture and put all the TVs in protective boxes. They've also got a state-of-the-art storage facility if you need it. The owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians. They love this place, and they want to take care of the individuals in the community, not just build a business. And they're focused on doing both. And I can tell you that because I used them, and I loved using TriStar Moving. If you're looking to move, give them a call today. 615-640-1219 or visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio. They will give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving with five-star service, nashvillemoving.org/radio, and they're the presenting sponsor of Stillman & Company, my official movers, TriStar Moving. John, how much damage do you think the Vols have done to the program with not only this hiring and firing, but going all the way back to the drama with Beverly Davenport and John Curry and Greg Schiano and Fulmer and Pruitt, and how much total damage do you think that has done to the program in the last 3 years?
Well, let's go back to the 2017 coaching search. John Curry was the athletic director. He was struggling. It was a hiring of Greg Schiano. And then Tennessee relented to the response on Twitter. And I wasn't in favor of hiring Greg Schiano, but if you are a leader of a university or a business or whatever, you can't just say, oh, well, people don't like it. Let's don't do it. We better go look for somebody else. That was the weakest move ever. I'm not saying he should have been hired, but once you hired him, you can't respond in that manner to the reaction of it. I don't think the current chancellor, Donde Plowman, would do that. I think she has enough confidence in her ability. She's sure enough of herself that if she made that decision, she'd stick with it. But see, if you go back to then, you have Philip Fulmer in there, special advisor to the president, Joe DiPietro, created that position for him. It's almost as though Fulmer does Jedi mind tricks on his people.
And if that's the case, John Adams yesterday on our show, Fulmer's got to go. And I like Fulmer. He's a legend. Just keep him in the box. Keep him off the field. He's got to go, and he's got to stay gone. Now, maybe he'll pull some more Jedi mind tricks. Who knows? but he's got to go. By the way, things just go from bad to worse. In the last hour since we've been on this subject, the Vols have lost Henry Toa-Toa, who might be their best overall player, sophomore linebacker Kavarius Crouch, sophomore running back Eric Gray, and now redshirt senior offensive lineman Jameer Johnson. They have all entered the transfer portal. It's getting bad. Have you ever been to a casino in Vegas and they have the jackpot that's above all the slot machines and the jackpot just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up? And that's like their thing of like, we want you to come bet this machine right now, because if you hit the jackpot, it's worth $43,000 right now. Or say the Mega Millions, which what's it like, $800 million right now? Maybe something closer to that. Goodness gracious, if you walked away with that kind of money. Whew. But that's what's happening right now to the Vols. The numbers, it's going to be a bad couple of weeks. It's just going to go up and up and up of guys that are entering the transfer portal. And you just have to know that that's inevitable. That you want to fire the coach and you want to hire an AD and you want to, here you are. You're kind of stuck. And you're dealing with possible probation and you're dealing with recruiting violations. I mean, it's bad. And it's going to take a long time to get out of. And any coach who does take this job is going to have all kinds of clauses in their contract that if it doesn't work out, or that the NCAA comes in there and throws the hammer down on the Vols, that they're going to get more years, more money, more guarantees. It's all coming. Texture to the text line, as I promised your phones, says, Jared, the Vols need to fill four, if not five, assistant coaching positions. Are you going to put them all on one-year contracts? That comes from Doug, and that's in reference to me saying, hey, let's let Kevin Steele coach this year and just throw it away. And the idea of how are they going to replace all these assistant coaches? Let me throw one name out there. Mike Vrabel. You're thinking, what would Mike Vrabel have to do with the Vols and a bunch of one-year coaches? Joe Rexroad wrote a great piece in The Athletic. And if you know me, you know that I do not often praise Joe's writing. Now, mostly that's because he's got opinions, and the opinions are not good. This was more of a story, more of a feature, and I thought it was great, on Mike Vrabel. And he was talking about Vrabel's tenure at Ohio State. Vrabel retired from the NFL. His roommate Luke Fickell was the linebacker coach at Ohio State. Jim Tressel gets fired over Terrell Pryor's tattoos. And now Luke Fickell becomes interim coach for a year, and he needs a coach on defense. So he calls up his roommate Vrabel, and he says, hey, Mike, would you like to come in and coach? And Vrabel's like, I guess so, sure. So Vrabel goes and coaches at Ohio State. Then Urban Meyer comes in, and Urban Meyer is like, I'm not hiring Mike Vrabel. Fickell's trying to convince him. Urban says, okay, I'll let Vrabel go through a job interview, and I might think about it. And apparently Vrabel bombed the interview. Urban told Vrabel, you get another shot at it. I wonder, this is all speculation, but I wonder if Belichick, who's friends with Urban, I wonder if Belichick called Urban and said, hey, you got to give Mike a shot. He's smart. He's a smart guy. He's a good leader. He'd be a good coach. And maybe that's why Urban decided to keep Vrabel on his staff. But that's what you're looking at. That's how Mike Vrabel got into coaching, is because of a similar situation where they just needed coaches to coach. And Kevin Steele would have to go find those guys for 1 year. Wouldn't be easy, but coaching in the SEC is not easy. That's the job. Texture to the text line says, Bernard says, that cherry picking one school that kept an interim coach in 2011 and trying to spin it like it was a good thing for Ohio State was cute. Have you ever heard of Matt Luke? Ask Ole Miss how that worked out when they were essentially burned 2 years of recruiting. The state of Tennessee has the best recruiting class in the history in 2022, including a program-changing quarterback in West Tennessee, who, by the way, wants to go to Tennessee. And there's no way he will, or another top recruit for that matter, if they don't know who's going to be coaching them for 4 years. Right. But if Kevin Steele is the interim head coach for 2021, that doesn't mean that they can't hire a good coach and have that coach then bring him in. Luke Fickell never got a full class at Ohio State. Jim Tressel was the coach in 2011. Luke Fickell coach in 2011. Urban Meyer came in 2012. Let's say the guy is James Franklin. Let's say the guy is Gus Malzahn. Kevin Steele coaches this year. You name Gus the head coach in November, and you sign the players in December or February. It's not that difficult. In fact, honestly, it's pretty easy. Texter to the text line says, all the guys that entered the portal today were Brian Niedermeyer recruits who were obviously getting those quarterly payments. Obviously, the money tree has dried up, and they were going to be ruled ineligible anyways. Well, you can spin it however you want. The Vols are bad with those guys. They're not going to be better without them. Texter says, hindsight is 20/20. Fulmer was a desperate move. Unfortunately, desperate moves are all the Vols have done these days. That comes from Steven. Stop making desperate moves. That goes back to my Warren Buffett comparison, which is don't invest the money if you don't have to. Warren Buffett only buys companies when he really studies them, really holds on to his cash, really waits his time, and then Warren says, okay, I like this business. We're going to buy it. And then ultimately, those businesses make a lot of money. You know, that's how I buy stocks. A lot of people, you know, the stock market has boomed over the last 5 years in a way that may be one of the best bull markets in the history of America. And all my friends are trying to get into it. They're all saying, oh, I got to invest in this stock, or I got to invest in that stock, or I got to do this, I got to do. And I tell everybody, just put your money in the S&P 500. Now, that's also Warren's advice. But when I buy a stock, I wait, I study, I look at it, and I track it, and I read the forecasts, and I check with the analysts, and then finally I decide, you know what, that's a good company that I'm going to hold. I don't do a lot of trading to trade, or I don't do a lot of purchases to trade in 3 months. These are good stocks that I think are going to develop over time, and then I buy. Tennessee can't seem to do that. On the surface, it was obvious Philip Fulmer wasn't going to work. There was a chance it was, but it was more likely than not going to work. It didn't work, and he walks away with $37,000 a month. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up this show next with one guy who the networks are going to line up to hire, and why it's in his interest and not their interest, in my opinion, for him to do it. We'll get to that coming up next. Hiller, they are proud supporters of the Vols through thick and thin, and they're proud supporters of the Preds as well. Hiller also takes great care of my home, and this year I'm telling you to let them take great care of your home. And the first way you can do this is by celebrating the new year with Hiller with their exciting new financing specials. Make no payments and pay no interest for the next 12 months on any new whole home generator, any new tankless water heater, select new HVAC systems, and much more. Take advantage of these great financing deals while you can. These deals are only available until the end of the month, so you need to schedule today. And as always, Hiller has more specials online at happyhiller.com. As always, they say, happy you'll be or the service is free, which means they're going to make sure they do a good job because they don't want to come back out for free. I use them at my home. They do a great job. They are taking every precaution possible to keep all of you safe and me while inside of our homes. Gloves, masks, social distance, digital payments, and much, much more. Again, these financing specials are good for the whole year, and they are only available this month, so you got to lock it in. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Vols and the Preds. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
He will always be remembered, I think, in a number of ways. One of them as a member of the legendary 2004 quarterback class. Yes, he was the second quarterback taken in that class, actually drafted by the Giants and then traded on the day of the draft for Eli Manning. But Eli was in that draft and Ben Roethlisberger in that draft. Now Ben, the only one left. D. Wood, what would you say about Phillip Rivers as a player?
Oh, man. I have so much. I always respected Phillip Rivers from afar, just the energy. One of the toughest competitors that we've seen coming to the National Football League at the quarterback position. He's all, you know, like Dominique said, was always animated. And, you know, this was a guy that, You know, he would throw an interception, and he would just keep slinging it. No question. He wouldn't back down from anyone. And, he's had a tremendous career over, playing with the San Diego Chargers and ultimately ending with the Indianapolis Colts. And like I said, I respect his career so much, man, because of the energy he brought to the field each and every game. So my hat, I tip my hat to Phillip Rivers, tremendous career.
There you go. That was Damian Woody this morning. The news of the day, Phillip Rivers hanging it up in the NFL. And there was a lot of speculation over the course of the year that these networks, these TV companies, were going to line up for Phillip Rivers. The thing about television is it's very hard to get the broadcast right. I'm not convinced that who the broadcasters are, as far as calling a game are concerned, actually matter. And yet the league cares. And if the league cares, that means you care. Because if the league is not happy about how you're presenting the game, then they give you bad games. And as ESPN has fought with this Monday Night Football package, they don't like bad games. Fox feels good about where they are with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but I'm sure they'd like to improve their number two crew with Daryl Moose Johnson. CBS improved their number two crew this offseason, but they're paying Tony Romo $17 million a year now. I think they were originally paying him three. Now they're paying him 17 because ESPN was willing to offer Romo that to get him over. There's a lot of talk that ABC wants a package in the next TV deal and that these 17th games may go to ABC, and if ABC wants that package, they're going to need a high-level broadcast crew to go with their current Monday night crew, which a lot of us would say is so-so. NFL Network's got Kurt Warner doing their thing, but again, all these TV companies are looking for Tony Romo. They are looking for that knock-em-dead broadcast. NBC probably feels good about theirs, where their first crew is Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, and their second crew is Tirico and Dungy. But even them, they're bringing in Drew Brees. But I would argue that Phillip Rivers should get into broadcasting. A lot of guys don't want to do it. ESPN has tried for years to get Peyton Manning to do it. He has no interest. I would argue Phillip Rivers should get into broadcasting because your career always looks better when you're on TV. Dominique Foxworth was on ESPN today talking about Phillip Rivers when the news broke. He said Rivers is a Hall of Famer and then listed off all the reasons why he's not a Hall of Famer. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I played against him all the way back in college when he was at NC State, and he had that unorthodox, unusual throwing motion, but somehow it was always effective, and it was really nice to see his career end on a somewhat positive note. I know they lost, but he played well in that game throughout much of the season where he was up and down. So Phillip Rivers is obviously going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he's never gotten to that Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl, or never even played in a Super Bowl. But throughout all this time, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league and had a tremendous career. So it's going to be incredibly interesting if someone has a camera on him while he's coaching high school football, because he is an animated guy who doesn't curse, so you don't have to worry about that. But he is an animated, intense competitor, and it's going to be funny watching him trying to influence a game when he has no other influence after the opening kickoff.
Ian, do you think that Phillip Rivers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, as Dominique Foxworth pointed out?
I would lean no, not first ballot. No.
I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer either. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but there's a reason why they make you wait 5 years. Your star dims a little bit in those 5 years after you sit out. Yes, Peyton Manning will get into the Hall of Fame today, but Fred Taylor is almost forgotten since he's done playing. Rivers' star is going to dim, but if he goes to TV, I think everybody will think more of him after his career is over. Just like everybody thinks more of Tony Romo now, one of the most criticized quarterbacks when he was in the NFL, is now lauded as one of the smartest guys in the sport. I think that Bill Cowher, who entered the Hall of Fame this year, Bill Cowher's career looks better with the TV lenses of, oh, yeah, Coach Cowher, he knows what he's doing. He was a great coach. He won one Super Bowl at the end. He got to another in the middle of his tenure. He's so-so. Cowher was so-so. He had some bad Pittsburgh teams. He was so-so. But he won that Super Bowl at the end, and everybody sees him on TV. If I was Rivers, I would jump for television. If getting into the Hall of Fame mattered, because to some people, the Hall of Fame doesn't matter. To some people, like Dominique Foxworth, they think he's in. I think he should be in, just like I think Eli should be in. But I think there's a lot of arguments you can make for both guys, Eli and Rivers, as to why they shouldn't be in. And they're kind of the opposite argument, right? Eli didn't win a lot in the regular season, doesn't have great stats, but he won two Super Bowls, and he was Super Bowl MVP twice. Meanwhile, Rivers won a little bit, and he's got great stats, but he never really won anything of substance. Again, the opposite of Eli. So if I was Rivers and they were calling me to do some games, I'm in. Make me look smarter. Make my career look better. Get me into the Hall of Fame. Smashville Live is coming up next. Chase McCabe, Pete Weber, and Tomas Vokoun. Don't go anywhere. You can also stream it from the confines of your home. Stillman & Company will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock.